Those who wrote what we call the Psalms were a remarkable body of people. They clearly had a deep faith in a single person they called God, but it wasn't a blind faith, for they made clear their frustration and puzzlement with the seeming contradictions that happened in their lives, and that the God they worshipped and followed didn't seem to answer their prayers in the way that they expected, or in some instances demanded. This was especially true when it came to dealing with their enemies. And this was true in the case of that towering figure in Old Testament history, David. Brave and courageous, deeply flawed like so many others, falling for someone else's wife and effectively killing her husband to get her, yet passionately loyal to the point of stupidity, note his relations with Saul, betrayed by his son Absalom, and yet wanting to forgive him, we have a picture of an individual who reflected all the complex emotions that we often experience and thankfully put them down on paper for our benefit. Over the ensuing Sunday services, we thought we would try and tease out a selection of the emotions expressed in different psalms. And today we are taking Psalm 55, one written by David, that expresses anxiety. There are not many other psalms in which the writer spells out his misery in more detail than this one. Panic, anguish, the terrors of death, fear, trembling, but above all, the experience of personal betrayal. His language is almost exhausted. It's an unusual feature to find the directness with which one individual is singled out. He's not named, but we can almost see David pointing his finger at him. We can hear his voice rising to a crescendo. If an enemy was insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe was raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom we used to hold sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng of the household of God. Verse 12 following. And this corresponds, doesn't it, to real experience. It is one thing to be faced with opposition, even with a flood of it. It's quite another to be betrayed by a friend. In that there is heartache beyond description, and one that I've experienced in my business career. How well I remember the description David gives in verse 20. The companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is as smooth as butter. Yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. The emotions being expressed by David are extreme because he had every reason to be anxious. Saul was out to get him. All around him there were people prepared to betray him for their own advantage. But whilst our fears and anxieties may not be so immediate, nevertheless they are just as real, stressful, and debilitating when they happen. They may be real, such as anxiety about a job, relations with one's children, about health or neighbours. They may be imaginary, but just as concerning for all that. They may be about terminal illness and approaching death. You may find it difficult to share these, even with those closest to you. One's stomach gets tied up in knots, and you don't sleep well at night. One doesn't have to deny the reality of these emotions or even the reality of death, because that is encouraging one to live out a lie. What you can say is that our Heavenly Father is never at the end of his resources where we are at the end of ours. When we face death, he says, "I am at the end of it," and a relationship with him is therefore never exhausted, and this is what is meant by eternal life. When we have learned to look death in the face, then all kinds of fears and anxieties fall into perspective. Christians really ought to be much more critical than they are. Often are of the idea that we survive death. We don't. Our bodies die, but our spirits, our souls live on. They are incorruptible, as Paul puts it. Death has been swallowed up in victory, and this is why the resurrection is so fundamental. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we are believing in a God that raised Jesus from the dead. a God that raises the dead and who brings life out of death. No wonder then that David longs to get away from it all. Verse 6, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." Mendelssohn's "Hear My Prayer" was sung by a choir boy, Ernest Luff, and that composition breathes the peace for which David yearned. "Listen to my prayer," he says. "Listen to my prayer, O God," and puts it up, and out of it pours honest, heartfelt, real. It's so natural, so human, so full of longing. We know that David had to go through much danger, which went on for a considerable time, but David was preserved and rewarded, although he had to experience much disappointment due to his own stupidity and folly. But that's our experience also, isn't it? God responds in a way we find very puzzling, but he does provide a way to escape. Often our cries are answered by a firm and loving no. No escape route this time. Not away from it all, but through it all with me, God seems to say. In my company you shall learn lessons which will strengthen you in a way that escape never would. We will go through it together, and you will be the stronger at the end. 3 times a day, we are told, David prayed. Was God hard of hearing? Did he need reminding? There is something to be said for being importunate. My betters told me when I was a child that those who ask don't get. My experience has been exactly the opposite. In David's case, it was a mixed blessing. He was clearly an embittered and anxious man at this point in his life, burdened by what he was experiencing. But he is still able to write, verse 22, "Commit your cares to the Lord, and he will sustain you," which in turn enables him to unload the burden of grief and resentment onto the one who has promised to take our griefs and sorrows, for he cares for us. I'm reminded of the picture drawn in Pilgrim's Progress of Christian struggling up a steep hill towards a cross on its peak with a sepulchre at its base with a big burden on his back. "I saw," writes John Bunyan, "that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden was loose from his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre where it fell in and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome and stood still a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should have eased him of his burden." I would humbly suggest that all of us have carried or are carrying a burden, some bigger, some than others. We all get wounded and we all at times want to fly away and find rest. St. Paul speaks of 2 kinds of pain and anxiety and 2 ways of bearing it. The world's way, which leads more often via medications and worse to despair, and ultimately a form of death or the pain that is shared with the Creator who made you in the first place. Paul puts it succinctly when he tells the Philippian Christians not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, to make their requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And St. Peter reminds us to cast all our anxieties on our Father, because he cares for you. This psalm is therefore a marvelous expression, paradoxically, of hope. Hope in a God that cares for you personally, that will sustain you and will never let you fall. Hope in a life that can be shared, however difficult it becomes, and with a God with whom you can express your deepest concerns. This is what prayer is all about, and this is where our faith in Christ finds ultimate fulfillment. Amen.